Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for starting your weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Thanks for starting your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Cayuga.
Ooh, that would be a little weird. Choctaw name, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's got to be. No. Okay, here we go. Cayuga was a point on the Natchez Trace to stop after Rocky Springs when heading northeast towards Nashville. It lay within the Choctaw Nation, just outside the Anglo-Spanish colonial Natchez District. The community is named after Cayuga Lake in New York. So I'm going to assume it's not a Choctaw name, because it's named after a lake from New York. So I don't know who were the Iroquois? Weren't they up there? Maybe that's what that is. I don't know.
We'll have to dig deep. Have a resident historian out there? I'm sure we do.
I'm quite positive a historian listens to this show, at least one. So, wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. I just saw your hat. Bluey, a big Second Amendment guy? I didn't know.
Yeah, sure. So my cousin is an Army vet.
Uh-huh.
My cousin married an Army vet. He wanted a Bluey hat with a automatic weapon.
Yeah.
And he didn't like the way it fit his head, and I was like, I'll wear it. I don't care. So here we go.
That's fantastic. All right. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, watching college football, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. You want to make your cookout the envy of the neighborhood? Do it with beef. Or if you just, if you don't feel like cooking out this weekend, but you still want to have a great steak, I got great news. There is a steakhouse not too far from where you live. They're all over the state of Mississippi, and they're all serving great Mississippi beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. They've got it all. Everything you're looking for, Mississippi State. Maroon, white, gray, black, state script, interlocking, M over S. It's all there at College Corner. The holidays are upon us. We're not too far off from this stuff. It's time to start planning what you're going to do. A trip to College Corner is a must. It's a must do this as we get closer and closer to the holidays. CollegeCornerStore.com. Two locations in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. Flowood by the Half Shell. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. A trip to Restaurant Tyler for dinner, that's a special occasion. You don't have to be proposing. You don't have to be celebrating. You could just go there and, hey, we had a special occasion. Oh, really? What was it? We ate at Restaurant Tyler. Oh! And those who know that was the correct answer. So if you want to have one of the best steaks in town, fantastic pasta, they always have great specials too. It's not just what's on the menu. I'm one of those people that looks online at the menu at almost any restaurant I go to, but they will surprise you at Restaurant Tyler with some outstanding specials, seafood, steaks, pasta, things like that. So check them out. Restaurant Tyler, the best meal in town. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank because they have a relationship with you, not just your money. They know you from day one. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It's Friday, so we are here for the three Ps, preview, playmaker, and predictions for Mississippi State and Texas A&M. And Robbie, we've been doing this the past few weeks, so let's start here. What have we not mentioned? What have we not talked about with this game between these two maroon and white teams. What are we leaving out to this point in the week?
Well, I think that we haven't really talked a lot about A&M. It's been a lot about what Mississippi State will or won't do. But at the end of the day, this is a top 10 A&M team. This might be the best A&M team in a while. They're really salty on the defensive side of the ball. Marcel Reed's playing at an extremely high level. They're a lot like Tennessee to me. I see a lot of similarities in this team and some of the things that they do, not everything, but they have a guy that's dynamic at quarterback, but this guy's even more dynamic. He's probably the best quarterback they've had since Johnny Manziel as far as producing big plays and being able to throw the football and run the football. And then Le'Veon Moss is back, and he's
Kellen Mond
starting
was
to.
okay. He was all right.
Yeah, but I like the
Can't
dynamic
read
ability.
better. Okay.
I like Marcel Reed a little bit better. He's actually, at this point in time, he's the quickest to 4,000 career yards in school history behind Johnny Manziel. He's only done it in 18 games. Manziel did it in 11. But I'm really high on Marcel Reed. I think he's really good. He's still fairly young. He's just a sophomore. And then, he's got two really good receivers in the vertical passing game. He's got three really good running backs. It is a very tough matchup for Mississippi State. And I know people are super excited, and I know people, they look at what Mississippi State did against Tennessee last week, and it excites them about this ball game. But it's going to be really difficult for State to win this game. They're going to have to play great football, and Texas A&M's going to have to make some mistakes. I know it was a close game against Auburn last week. I thought Auburn was pretty good defensively in that ball game, but they were just absolutely suffocated on the offensive side of the ball. State's offense is going to have to be really good in both the running game and the pass game. They're going to have to protect Blake Shapen. They're going to have to hit big plays. And without Albert Reese, that's going to be tough to do. You just don't have great tackle play right now without Albert Reese. So I don't think we've talked a lot about Texas A&M. I don't think we've talked enough about what they bring to the table. And I think they have more competent coaching now with Mike Elko than they did with Jimbo Fisher. And so it's going to be tough. It really is. I think this is a very good football team that probably hasn't been talked enough about in college football right now at this point. I think that even as a top 10 team, they could be sliding under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that win over Notre Dame, you would have thought would have given them a little more juice than they have at this point. But in the SEC right now, I feel like the big storylines are Alabama, Texas, Ole Miss, and not so much Texas A&M, but you're absolutely right. This is a very talented team. And they have a good offense-defense balance here. You mentioned their skill position guys. You may be tough, hard pressed to find a better group, right? And talking about quarterback, running back, and two receivers, Reed, Moss, Craver, and Concepcion, that's about as good as you can get in the SEC. And then defensively, I mean, they just absolutely ate Auburn alive last week. It was really impressive to watch. I think Auburn, the stat is 0 of 13 on third down. State's been a pretty good third down team. They've been okay this year. But that's definitely a stat that merits watching. You mentioned the injuries. Albert Reese and Isaac Smith both listed as questionable on the injury report from Wednesday night. Brennan Thompson and Darian Gillette listed as probable. So Thompson's looking like he's going to play, in case we were worried about that one. Isaac Smith and Albert Reese, we're not sure about. I talked to a source last night that said that he felt he was surprised that Reese wasn't on the doubtful list. They don't expect him to travel this weekend, but we shall see. That's something that can change, last minute if they feel like he can go. So my guess is they'll do a run through today and they'll see if he feels any better, and we'll see what happens. Isaac Smith, if he can't go, it's crazy. You mentioned this yesterday, but it's crazy to say that I'm much more concerned about somebody other than Isaac Smith. Like, Isaac Smith can't play, that's a tough blow. He's a great player. But Albert Reese was really the linchpin for State's rushing success against Tennessee. In your mind, how do you where do you put guys? What's your starting offensive line if Reese can't go?
Yeah, honestly, I would probably flip James and Lewis. I would put Lewis at right tackle and I would put James at left. You don't really have a lot of options. We haven't seen anything from Saquon Miles at this point. It looks like he's going to redshirt. It looks like they're kind of running with those guys. I asked Jeff Lebby on Monday because I knew he wasn't going to give us any answers on his
Right.
injuries unless it was out for the season.
Right.
He's been pretty good about telling us if a guy's done. But especially since the SEC play starts, he usually says, no, we'll wait till Wednesday. You can see it then. And by the way, just a little flow chart for you on how I've kind of mapped this out with Jeff Lebby. On Wednesday, if it says questionable, more often than not, those guys are out. If it says probable, those guys are probably going to play. Tonight, I imagine we will see Isaac Smith and Albert Reese probably downgraded to doubtful, if I had to guess. Friday, they'll probably be out, or Saturday, they'll probably be listed as out, if I had to guess.
Right.
With those two guys being listed as questionable, usually Jeff Lebby has that turn into out.
Yeah.
The probable, you might see Gillette and Thompson come off. I don't know, but I feel pretty good about those two playing. But on the offensive line, I asked Jeff Lebby on Wednesday about that. What do they do if Albert's out? And he said they'll still kind of move some things around and try to get the best guys out there or whatever. I expect it to be James and Lewis probably. We have not seen, I don't think, anybody else at tackle. Have we? Have we seen anybody else other than those three? Blake Steen, obviously, but
Yeah,
that's
I don't think
amazing.
Luke Work has taken a snap at tackle. I don't believe he has.
So it looks like that's going to be it.
I mean, surely in some like the Alcorn game where some guys played there, but I just don't know off the top of my head. Like did Shumpert Miles?
I don't remember. But I think it's probably going to be at this point, you're probably riding with James and Lewis. And I thought James was really solid against Arizona State. I thought he played a really good game against Arizona State at left tackle. So try him out there. Let's see if Jimothy can get a little more acquainted on the right side, and go from there. But those guys are going to be challenged again this week. You have 10 guys on Texas A&M's defense that have a sack this year. 10 players, 10 different players have a sack for Texas A&M.
No.
This is going to be a pass rush that's going to be just as tough to defend this as we saw last week. So that's why Albert Reese being out is so big for Mississippi State. But also, I've seen people say, you got to play him if he can go. And
No, you can't. You can't.
I just don't
No.
think that you can risk him getting further injured when you need him for the rest of the season.
Right. Yeah. You're willing to sacrifice here to have him the final six games of the season. That's just how you have to look at that.
And I know Jeff Lebby said, we're doing everything it takes to win this week because we had that bye. But if there's any concern that he could be, and I'm not saying can he play hurt? If he's a little hurt, everybody's a little hurt right now. So yeah, you would play him. But if there's any concern that taking more contact right now or whatever is going to further injure him, I'm not playing him this week. And that maybe that's a loser mentality. But I'm thinking long term for Mississippi State. You're trying to get to a bowl game, and you're trying to stack wins beyond that. If you clinch bowl eligibility, you get a bye week next week. That's essentially, at that point, you'd have basically 3 weeks off for Albert Reese,
Yeah.
and is pretty healthy as he could be probably at that point for
Yeah.
the stretch run. You
Yeah.
can't afford for him to go out for the rest of the season, and then you're stuck with what you got at tackle.
Yeah. Even
So
if you won
this
this
week is
game, if Reese was out the rest of the year as a result of it, that's what they
doesn't
call
make any
a
sense.
victory. That's no good. One thing I want to go back to that you mentioned though. You talked about we haven't talked a lot about Texas A&M, and you're correct. We had David Nunez on and gave us a great preview about them, but I think the reason for that, Robbie, is we all saw the game last week, and we saw that this everything, despite everything Tennessee did, it was Mississippi State, in my opinion, that cost itself. It was the mistakes that Mississippi State made that lost the game. It's not so much anything Tennessee did. I think the same is true probably the rest of the season with the Bulldogs. that they are good enough to win these games. It's going to be about how they play and what they do in the games, and do they limit their mistakes, and do they take advantage of opportunities. And if they do that, they can win almost every game they play this year. I think we talked about that this week, that the ceiling is obviously higher on this squad than we thought it was back in the preseason. They seem to have figured out some things on both sides of the ball, and it's just about limiting their mistakes. Now, that offensive line is going to be a big piece of that, because part of limiting the mistakes is limiting sacks. I said last week that, you know, you really had to protect Blake Chapin. They did not do that, and that's a big – it might be the biggest reason they lost the game. This week is going to be something similar. You know, A&M is a good enough defense. They can pressure this this offense. What State's got to really do is they've got to protect when teams aren't blitzing. I feel like that's where State is struggling right now, is teams are getting to the quarterback on their on a four-man front, and that's allowing them to basically eliminate all of the short and intermediate passing game, because they don't have to blitz linebackers to get pressure. State's got to protect when guys are just rushing four and make somebody bring an extra backer, and that's where you find the hole in the defense. Maybe that's where Sadu Traore is. Maybe that's where Anthony Evans is working underneath, something like that. That's what I need to see more from State. It's 2 weeks in a row. The offensive line is going to tell the tale in this game, and unfortunately for State, they're not at 100% there.
Yeah, and as you look at the offensive line, whenever Reese left the game the other day, you know, the rushing attack basically ceased to exist. And they've got to find a way this week to make sure that that's not an issue for them. And, you know, maybe they just got caught off guard this week. You know, have a full week to prepare. They can kind of game plan for that. The one thing I'll say is this team has found a way to score points and put up yards in spite of itself a lot of times. You know, penalties come. They've somehow find a way. I mean, I remember teams in the past, you get a holding penalty or an offense or a false start, the drive's over.
It's the end of the drive, yeah.
And like the great thing about this offense is it, you know, you can overcome that stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like what we talked about. What if you just didn't have it? What if you just didn't have to deal with that?
What if we what just if your offense didn't just, do that?
That would be great. Like what would this offense look like if they weren't doing those things? If they could have a consistent rhythm, if they're able to run at the speed that they want to run. We haven't been able to see this team run consistently with the tempo they want to run. And when they do, it's a very difficult offense to defend. So the one good thing I'll say is this offense, no matter what defense has been presented to them, they take what they've got and they make something out of it. You know, we look back at the air raid offense, and when teams started running that zone defense, keeping everything in front of them, that offense was just kind of bogged down. This offense has found ways to, if everything's in front of them, they run the ball. If teams are pressuring and they have everything close to the line of scrimmage, they're hitting big plays in open space down the field. They found ways to get the job done offensively, and they're averaging over 35 yards a game right now. It's going to be hard to do that this weekend, I think, but I still think they're going to be able to have some production when those opportunities present themselves. When they have big plays there to be made, they've got to hit them in this ball game. So I think Brennan Thompson, if he's back this week, that's going to be big for them. Having a guy with that kind of ability that can take the top off the defense cannot be replaced by Mississippi State, and they didn't have him for most of the game last week, and that's one thing that we might not have talked about as much last week, is there was no Brennan Thompson to create those big plays against that secondary that have been there this year.
An underrated aspect of what State was unable to do last week. Anytime you lose a player, it doesn't matter. If he's one of your starters, that's one of your best 11. But to lose Thompson, who has been so clutch for Mississippi, I mean, just missed a touchdown, dropped the ball. But that's the thing, like, with him out there, you can just throw the ball up and you can – it's not even really hope. It's like you can almost predict he's going to run under it and have a chance to make the catch. And so him being back for State is a big deal. We'll see what happens with Reese and with Isaac Smith this weekend. But I agree with you, Robbie. I think probably Thursday's injury report downgrades them to doubtful, and then by Friday they're out. But we'll see. I think would you say that if either one of them was going to play, Isaac is more likely? or
Yeah,
rings.
probably so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're talking like small percentages here, like
Yeah, I think that
5% to 2% or something like that.
I definitely think that that Isaac, I would say, is doubtful on Thursday as we record this. And I don't have hardly any confidence that Albert's going to play, but that's the thing. Like we just go on based on what we hear. It's like rumors. Like they don't, the information just doesn't really get out of practice. So we just have to kind of go on rumors right now, kind of the things that we're hearing from sources that tell us these things. But I don't feel great about either one of those guys playing. And it's one of those deals that, last week, Mississippi State, they didn't complain about the injuries. They just had another guy step in and went, and they just kept doing their work. They didn't talk about injuries at the press conference unless we brought them up the other day. That's this team. Like, they are going to do what it takes to go find a way to win. They're not complaining about Will Whitson being out. They're not complaining about Blake Steen being out for the season. We didn't hear much about Albert unless we brought it up. This is a no excuses team. They've gone back to work this week, and again, I guarantee you, they feel exactly like they did going into Tennessee, that they're going to win this game, go on the road and playing a top 10 team in a tough environment. They feel like they're going to win the game. So you need a guy like a Tyler Lockhart that stepped in the other day and gave you some really good reps. You need a guy like a Javen James, like he did against Arizona State, to step up. State has had those players do that this year. They need more of that.
Agreed. Agreed. And something about Tyler Lockhart, maybe just throwing a true freshman in there. They don't know any better. So they're not going to be intimidated. We'll see how that goes. I think Tyler Lockhart, I think last Saturday was the first game in a long career for him. I think that you see a lot of, I see the potential with him. And I felt like when talking about the true freshman, everybody's talking about Camario so much. Man, I really like what I saw from Tyler Lockhart on Saturday. I think he's going to continue to improve, and by the end of the season, could be a key player for Mississippi State.
Well, he just looks different out there. He just—he
Physically,
looks
yeah.
like an SEC football player.
Right.
There's a lot of guys on Mississippi State defense the last 3 years that, bless their hearts, they played hard, they did a good job,
Robbie hit them with a bless their hearts.
but
Goodness.
they don't look like some of the guys that you see at other schools.
Right, you're right.
Tyler Lockhart, Zachary Tillman, Isaac Smith, those guys look like the guys you see on other SEC defenses. And so having those dynamic players out there, you're right. Like, sometimes they don't know any better. Just tell them to go get the ball. And when they have those kind of instincts and they have the ability, they can make plays that a lot of guys that have lesser ability can't make, despite playing harder. Some of those players play harder than some players like Tyler Lockhart and Zachary Tillman, and they still can't outperform them because those guys just have ability that's been God gifted, that they can make plays that a lot of players can't make. So yeah, I would throw Tyler Lockhart out there at this point. He's been out there in it. Take the ropes off, let him roll.
All right, let's move into the final part of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. Two great places to grab lunch or dinner right next door to each other, right in the best part of town in the Cotton District. It's, we haven't talked about it in a few weeks, but with all the planning and all the future, renderings of the Cotton District, Two Brothers and the Older Brother are the hub of that, in my opinion. That's, Two Brother, the new Two Brothers was like the first big addition to the Cotton District. Everything else was just kind of there, and I look forward to the future there, because those two places are always going to be there, because great people like you keep frequenting those places because they offer great food and great service, and we love to go there, and we will be there again soon, and we hope we'll see you there at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
Brother.
If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need service on something they've sold you, guess what? Same number, same people. You don't have to talk to anybody new. Somebody you already know is going to pick up the phone, talk to you, and explain how quickly they're going to be out there to you. A lot of times it's going to be the same day because they're in Mississippi and you're in Mississippi. That's the difference between being a neighbor and being a number. 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, a trip to Maroon & Co. is a must. You are looking for Mississippi State gear, they've got it. The biggest and best selection in the entire Golden Triangle. Everything maroon and white, everything state script, everything interlocking, M over S, custom cowbells. It's just all right there for you. It is a one-stop shop for any Bulldog fan looking to say, hey, I love the Bulldogs. So head over there today and use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to Davis Wade Stadium, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. If you're going to be out in the yard this weekend, you need to get out and get it done quick so you can watch some college football. You need John Deere power. You need to talk to our friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. They will put you in the John Deere mower of your choice. They're going to set you up with a great deal, great financing, 0% financing up to 60 months in some cases. Whatever you're looking for with that's in John Deere green, they've got it. And everything else you need around the house, in the cookout, in the garden, it's all right there for you at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. In Saltillo, they have what you want for less. Playmaker time, Robbie Faulk. On the offensive side of the ball, who are you taking?
I'm going to go with Anthony Evans in this game.
Okay. Texas boy.
Yep, in this slot, I think that he's going to make some plays for the Bulldogs and kind of open up the game a little bit. I think A&M is going to try to stop Mississippi State running the football in this game for some reason. I just feel like they saw what they did against Tennessee. They're going to be wary of that, and they're going to try to make sure that Fluff Bothwell and Devon Booth aren't able to establish the run game. And so for that, Mississippi State's going to have to make plays in the passing game. They're going to have to make tough plays because I think that they're going to have some decent coverage on Anthony Evans and Brennan Thompson and Jordan Mosley. I think Anthony Evans is going to be the guy that makes the plays for them in this game. And that includes maybe in the punt game, if he can return some punts, get some good yardage, and try to change the field position as well.
I like where you're at. I'm kind of in the same place here. And I'm going to go with somebody in the passing game. I think State's is going to try to run the football. And I think they'll have some success at it. Notre Dame was able to run the football okay against this Texas A&M defense. Auburn was not, but I got to be honest with you. We've talked a lot about Jeff Lebby and his ability to evaluate quarterbacks. I think he missed the boat on Jackson Arnold. I just don't see it with that guy. But that's a conversation for another day. But I'm going to go Brennan Thompson.
Which might be a reason why they didn't
maybe that's why
go
they
all out.
Yeah, maybe they're just like, eh. I'm going to go with Brennan Thompson for my playmaker, bringing him back. I think he probably looks at last week as missed opportunities. He probably looks at it and goes, man, if I could have been out there, that guy could have made the difference, and that's going to lead him into this game. Nobody in the conference has a guy who can cover Brennan Thompson one-on-one in the deep passing game. He's just too fast. So if State can protect Blake Shapen, they're going to have opportunities down the field to hit Brennan Thompson, and those big plays have been a big part of what Mississippi State has done this year offensively. I think Brennan Thompson gets another long touchdown in this game for Mississippi State. So I'm going to go with Brennan as my offensive playmaker. What about defensively, Robbie?
I think we saw something happen last week with Zachary Tillman, and he just kind of came out of his shell a little bit. We've seen these flashes from him. That was the best game he's played last week against Tennessee, got an interception, and then the plays he was making across the field. I think what probably stuck with him the most was that overtime play. And he's probably been stewing about that all week. And you could kind of see it in post-game, after the ball game as well. I think Zachary Tillman comes out and puts back-to-back really good weeks together. I think he has hit his stride here, and he's about to really kind of break out.
Yeah.
So I think he puts it together again. This is a guy that's – there's not going to be a ton of – you know, guys out there that can get to Marcel Reed in space.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's one of those that can get horizontally, make sure he cuts off the runs if he's taken off and running, if he has somebody covered down the field. I think Zachary Tillman's a guy that can get those plays stopped before they turn into big plays.
You know that if you've listened to this podcast, you know I'm very high on Zachary Tillman, so I love that pick. One of the underrated, I don't know if it's underrated, we just haven't talked a lot about it, but Mario Craver versus Mississippi State. I don't know if there's any bad blood on either side, to be totally honest with you, but I do know that Craver has turned himself into one of the nation's most explosive wide receivers. It's going to be tough to stop him and Casey Concepcion. But wherever they put Kelly Jones, I feel pretty good about being able to slow those guys down. So I think Jones is who I'm going to go with for my defensive playmaker. I want to see that guy get a pick. Hasn't happened yet. Kelly Jones is becoming the new Martin Emerson. It's like nobody throws at him, but
he's not getting the ball thrown at him since the second week.
So we'll see if that happens. But I know that it doesn't matter if he's on Craver or Concepcion. They're going to target those receivers, and Jones will be there for one of them for sure. So Kelly Jones is going to play a big role. State has to try to limit some of those big plays. Kelly Jones is a big part of that. So that's who's going to be my defensive playmaker. Who is your X factor?
My X factor in this game is going to be a little bit of a surprise because he hasn't really done anything yet.
Okay.
But it kind of plays into my next man up mentality that I was talking about earlier. I'm going to say Tony Mitchell has a big play for Mississippi State in this game. Tony Mitchell played a lot last week, and it wasn't just a fantastic performance. But I think with the week leading up to this, if he is indeed in the ball game for Isaac Smith in this game, the week leading up to this, knowing that he has got to step up and make plays for Mississippi State, he's as talented as anybody on that defense. Tony Mitchell was playing at Alabama. He was going to be a big part of that defense. He had to take a route and get back into JUCO and get to Mississippi State. Talent has not been an issue for this guy. He now is presented with an opportunity to step up and help Mississippi State and also put himself back where he wants to be, playing at a very high level in the SEC. I think whether it be an interception, a forced fumble, a big tackle on third or fourth down, whatever, I think Tony Mitchell is going to come up with a big play. It's just a gut feeling, kind of projecting here. And not knowing anything else, I feel like Tony Mitchell's going to step up and make a big play or two in this game.
I like that. I mean, somebody has to step in for Isaac Smith and fill that role. And if Tony Mitchell can do that, that would be great for Mississippi State. My guy is going to be Jerron Manning. I'm going to stay in the secondary. You know, I just feel like State last week really did a good job against Tennessee's running game. I think they can do the same against Texas A&M's. Le'Veon Moss is a better back than Star Thomas is, but I feel like State can do that. They can limit Texas A&M in the running game. So it's going to be all about what State does in the secondary. I gave Kelly Jones as my playmaker. Jerron Manning has looked every bit of the highly touted transfer that he was. He had an interception last week. He's always around the ball. I really like what I see from him. And that's another guy that, you know, with him coming over the top, can provide help to Brumfield and to Jones at the cornerback position. He's just a really good college football safety. And I think he makes another, you know, he had a big play last week. Could see another one from him this week. So Jerron Manning is where I'm going for my X factor. Prediction time, my friend. What do you got?
Yeah, you know, I've been going back and forth on this all week. I just haven't felt great about this game for Mississippi State for whatever reason. I think the big reason is that I feel like having the game they had last week and with the injuries compounding with it, it's just going to be really difficult for this team to keep their head above water throughout this game. I think A&M probably gets some early momentum. They build a little bit of a lead. I think State fights hard in this game. I think they play hard. I just can't see a win just yet. It hadn't really changed my mind on this team. I still think this is going to be a team that's going to be a force to be reckoned with this year, and I think they're going to be bowl eligible. But in this game, with the injuries that they have at the key spots and coming off a tough, tough loss the way they did, I'm going to say A&M 27, Mississippi State 17.
Ooh, 17. Okay. I'm going to give State a little more offensive credit than that, but I do agree with you. Texas A&M is just a better team, and this is on the road. And State has some key injuries. It's kind of weird. Like, State doesn't have a lot of injuries. They're not a beat-up football team. But the injuries they have are important ones. And that's where they're just going to be lacking a little bit. But I think State's still able to put points on the board. They've done it in every game this year. They put 34 on the board on Tennessee. That's a good defense. I think they put points on the board. But in the end, it's just not enough. I'm going to go Texas A&M. I think State will cover for sure. I'm going to go Texas A&M 34 and Mississippi State 27 is my final score. State will be in the game the whole way, but in the end, the Aggies just will take it home. State will go into the bye week at 4-2, which I think if we go back in time to the week before the USM game, if I said they'll be 4-2 going into the bye week, I think everybody's on board with that. So take a bye week, get yourself, recollected and recollected, recollected,
Recollected,
recall,
recollected.
recollect, collect. And then you got a big game with Florida. That's a very winnable football game when you come out of the bye. And we'll be there. All right. Next week is the bye week. That means it's the bye week blitz. I've already got conversations lined up with Coach Chris Jans, Coach Sam Purcell, and Mississippi State baseball star Ace Reese next week. We will do all of that next week on the bye. Plus, we'll talk some, continue to talk football and everything else as we're going along. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.